All right, everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie, silverandblackpride.com, instant reaction show. You know, it's a little different today. It ain't me and BD, it's me and Matt Holder. My man Matt Holder is with me today. Yeah, so we're representing, you know, breaking down the game last night, the game that happened last night. You know, the Raiders, you know, ended up winning against the Rams out in SoFi Stadium. You know, some last minute heroics, kind of, you know, Marcel Aitman, you know what I'm saying? So it was a good game. So, right. So like I said, make sure you guys subscribe on iTunes, hit the download button on Spotify, go ahead and, you know, hit the download, you know, get us up there. You know, our interaction show last week almost got 5,000 downloads. So let's try to beat that. You know what I mean? So, but we appreciate you guys listening to us and checking us out. And today we're just going to be, giving our reaction to the game yesterday. So Matt, how do you feel about the game? How are you feeling?
I mean, win's a win, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even if it does come in the preseason, even when it doesn't matter. I mean, I thought it was good. I mean, to be honest with you, I kind of like, it was like when I looked at the scoreboard, I was at points where I'm like, oh crap, the Raiders are actually winning this game. I definitely feel like the Rams play a little better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think they end up shooting themselves with like 10 penalties, something like that, helped out the Raiders. And then, of course, going for it at the end.
Yeah.
Sure. Raiders got a little luck there with that inaccurate pass.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like I said, a win's a win. I think good overall. Obviously, a lot to get better on. What about you, man?
Yeah, I like the depth of this team. I think the depth is really good for this team. I think especially in the D line, and even in the secondary. And I mean, to be honest, I mean, besides we'll get to that. Besides linebacker right now, you know, and of course tackle, the depth is okay. You know, the depth is good on defense, and you know, if you have good depth on defense and players go down, especially in the D line, I think you're going to be, pretty decent in the season. So I'm really, I really like how the defense is playing, and I'm excited about that. So I am.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. So let's get into it. First, you know, let's talk about Nate Hobbs. You know, Nate Hobbs is taking the storm. He's making my man BD look bad for his old Twitter thread, you know, saying that he wasn't good. You know, there's some guy left a comment on YouTube today. You know, he came back from a video 3 weeks ago. You know, he's coming
out of shadows.
He's like, yeah, I told you. Right. So preseason. But Nate Hobbs, he's playing really well. He had an interception yesterday. You know, he's making some great tackles and tackles for loss. So what do you think about Nate Hobbs, Matt? What do you think about his performance?
I mean, I gotta be honest, I'm like BD, and I feel like it's justified, right? Like if we go back, I'm a big draft buff for you guys that don't know. If you go back and look at like the draft stuff, like no one was on Nate Hobbs, right? Like numbers guys, film guys, like everything was ugly. But I mean, give credit to John Gruden and Mike Mayock for finding him. I guess maybe he just wasn't made for being out on the outside. And I mean, he's coming on the inside and he's been probably, definitely their best defensive back in the preseason so far. And what surprised me about him is how his instincts and how it seems like he's picked up the defense already. Like we were talking about at the beginning of the show, I think there was last week he had a play too. It was the same thing. It's like a screen that he came up and blew up. Obviously, I know he had the sack too.
Yeah.
And then this week, what was it, like the first play of the game? You know, same thing. You know, he read the screen immediately. And I think they even talked about on the broadcast where he was probably playing man. The wide receiver thought he'd follow him. And instead, he just kind of aborts that or reads the play and then just goes and blows up the screen right there on the right after he catches the ball. And I mean, that's the biggest thing for me is like not only is he playing well, not only is he doing things like going and getting the interceptions, but he seems to be getting the mental part of it down, which I think is tough for a rookie, and especially, you know, a rookie that's learning a new position.
Yeah, yeah. What I like about him is you could tell that, you know, he's a good run defender. So I think he could play the slot. And I mean, even when he was at Illinois and he was doing the cover two stuff, you know, he was still able to, you know, tackle well, you know, set the, you know, if they would come outside, he would tackle well. He attacked really well when he was, playing out in Illinois. So the transition to slot is good for him, you know, as a run defender, you know. It's just right now we haven't really seen him tested in coverage. That's the kind of thing. I mean, I know he made that pick yesterday, but that dude and Bryce Perkins, there's three guys around there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was for sure.
Super force. You know what I mean? So if you know, we haven't seen him in coverage yet to get a clean look at him there to make the decision, like, okay, is he gonna be legit in the slot? We know he could play the run. We know he can blitz. We know he could come blow up screens, but it's more like, when it's time to, you know, win one-on-one in coverage, can you do it? And that's kind of what I want to see from him. But we haven't seen it. I mean, it's preseason, so it's gonna be interesting.
And that's tough too, because it's like, even if he does cover like somebody right now, it's like, okay, well, it's like, all right, who's he actually covering? The one thing I will say though is like, I mean, I know you were a big Tutu Atwell fan last year during the draft 100%. And whatnot.
Yeah.
And like on that pick, like I know Tutu had him by like a step, but I mean, with that kind of guy, that's kind of, that's what you're expecting at least. And I mean, I felt like he was able to run with them a little bit in coverage. Like,
yeah,
I definitely feel you on that. I feel, his highlight plays right now are kind of the ancillary things for a defensive back right now, the run defense and the blowing open screens and whatnot,
yeah,
or and blitzing. And but I mean, I feel like right now, like if you're a Raider fan watching what they've had at nickel for the last few years, you got to be pretty happy with what they've had having Hobbs, at least as a starting point.
Yeah.
You know? But again, like we said, like you said, you know, the biggest test will come during the actual regular season to see how he does one-on-one in coverage. You know, one of those things that I wish we were at practice every day to see the one-on-one, see how he does with those guys.
Yeah, because I mean that's what we're missing, right? You know, right. I mean, he can blitz and he can play the run. I mean, we kind of already knew that. You know, right. The worry is coverage with him. And I think because he had a great pro day, you know what I'm saying? He like ran a 4.4, so you know, he probably can run with Tutu Atwell.
Yeah.
But you know, it's more about me, it's more about moving skills. So like if you watch him at Illinois, like some of his, you know, coming out of his transitions a little choppy, you know what I'm saying? Gotcha. Like it's not very clean. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs and how he gets better, you know, once the game starts, especially, you know, when we get in there. He's playing a slot like, you know, week two, he's got to play Juju. You know what I mean? He's got to try to Juju a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see how he does there against some of the top-notch competition.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
I'm curious, man, let's talk about the secondary a little bit as a whole for a second. One thing I want to back up before we move on to the QB controversy we got going on right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of curious on your thoughts. You know, we talked about it with Hobbs, right, playing fast and not thinking as much, you know, playing more aggressive against the run. I feel like I kind of noticed that about the entire secondary, and it kind of makes me draw back to the old Gus Bradley days of the Legion of Bloom, where guys were just kind of playing fast and laying people out. You think of the guys like Cam Chancellor, Brandon Bowner, and even Richard Sherman back in the day, a little bit of Earl Thomas too. But I don't know. I feel like I've liked what I'm seeing. I'm liking the aggressiveness and whatnot from what we're seeing in that secondary that I think Gus Bradley's brought over.
You can tell they're playing fast, man. You can tell it's a, you know, the scheme is not as complex as Gunther's. They're able to play fast and not think, you know, especially, you know, like the Arnett's and guys like that. Mullen's supposedly having a good camp on the low. I heard he had it was great in the joint practices against the Rams, you know? So I think the secondary is going to be a lot better just because they're playing faster, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even Arnett. Yeah, you're not thinking, you know, Abram's going to be in the right position. Gus Bradley, he's going to put players in the positions for them to succeed. You know, he's not going to, like, you know, put players in positions they shouldn't be in. So I think the secondary is going to be better just because of that. So I'm excited to see their outlook and see how they grow, especially like players like Damon Arnett, because, you know, he played cover three at Ohio State. That's basically Ohio State plays all the time. It's cover three. Yeah. So it shouldn't be too crazy for him to learn, you know, press and cover three. So, you know, his growth, you know, and then Casey Hayward out there playing, you know, he's already played in the cover three system a lot. So I think the secondary is going to be a whole lot better, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious, you worried at all? It did. I mean, obviously with Gus Bradley, he's kind of that bend but don't break philosophy. And it seemed like
they
kind of dink and dunk their way down the field. Does that worry you at all? I mean, especially given the Raiders' propensity to not create turnovers, which was what, you know, kind of makes that defense work.
That's a good point, because it depends on who they're playing, you know, like
true.
I think on their schedule they don't play a lot of, I mean, besides Herbert, I think Herbert is probably the only guy that will try to expose the flats. He's a smart quarterback who's gonna try to, like, he doesn't checking down is not a bad thing for Herbert. He doesn't mind that.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably like the only guy in the division that might hurt their little cover three system, because he won't mind throwing Austin Eckler in the flat.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Mahomes and like some of the other guys that they're playing this year, you know, they're not really like, okay, I'm going to take what the defense gives me, which is basically what Gus Bradley tries to do. So I still think it'd be good, because, I think the D-line's going to get more pressure and they're going to be in more positions to succeed. So I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, that you bring that up, it kind of jogged my memory a little bit. Like, thinking back to last week, they played Seattle, which, you know, Russell Wilson, a lot's been made. You know, obviously Russell Wilson didn't play, but, you know, they're another vertical down the field passing attack with all those speed demons that they have on the outside. And obviously the Raiders held up pretty well. I mean, it was only really only really one play that they really gave up that was really bad. That was the ironically a pass to the flats, and that where the defensive lineman didn't get the peel.
Yeah,
and then you know they play the team like the Rams, like you said this week, where that's dink and dunk, and you know that's obviously not going to be as much of a better of a matchup with Gus Bradley's system. But like you said, you know, Mahomes is kind of similar in to the Seahawks or Russell Wilson, where he's going to hold on to the ball and he's going to look to make a play. Checkdowns don't exist in Mahomes' language, so
that's been the
Raiders' prerogative and a lot of leagues' prerogative is how to figure out how to stop the Chiefs. So yeah, I mean, it's a good point. So I'm interested to see how that works out, plays out during the season, how that dynamic works.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man, let's go ahead and get into these quarterbacks, bro. So you know, your boy Peterman, man, he's getting all the run, dog. You know, but Mariota is, I think, it's a little concerning. Marcus Mariota, it's hurt again. You know, it's the second off season that he can't play in the. Right. I mean, they didn't have a preseason last year, but you kind of wanted to see him get comfortable, and you know, because if he keeps letting Peterman playing, I mean, Gruden loves Peterman. So if he keeps that thought process in Gruden's mind that Peterman could actually be QB2, I think Mariota, he might be a little bit in trouble, but I'm sure that, you know, they still feel good about him. But like, what are your thoughts, man?
I mean, obviously Mariota was hurt last week, kind of made sense, you know, banged up, don't want to risk it. Don't want him to get him injured or anything like that.
Yeah.
I was super shocked that he didn't play. I mean, hell, I wrote a column talking about how Marcus Mariota is a player to watch. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Gruden likes to piss me off, make sure I'm wrong. I'm convinced he's reading my articles just to make
sure. Right. For sure.
But honestly, to me, what it seems like is, you know, if you know John Gruden's history, right, you know, he loves his backup quarterbacks, right? He loves his quarterback projects.
Yeah.
To me, what it says is Gruden just has no intentions of trading Mariota. He's like, you know what? I'm going to use this guy in a few packages during the regular season. I don't want him to get hurt. Mm-hmm. I want him on my team. I'd rather have him on my team for a year than try and trade him for, you know, a third or fourth round pick and get somebody else that could come in the future. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest thing to me is, like, you know, you look at the guys that didn't play last week. They're all guys that are not even necessarily starters, but they're guys that are going to contribute. And Marcus Mariota, I think, is going to be one of them. So that's, I think, the biggest thing to me. And I think part of Gruden too is he wants to see how his project's going, right? Yeah, you know, Marcus Mariota is part of his project, but Peterman's the one he's been working on for 3 years, so he wants to make sure that, you know, everything's going all right on that end. But yeah, I mean, I was shocked. I mean, I don't think you'd be hard pressed to find another quarterback that's played two full preseason games in the league this year and probably in a while. So
yeah,
I mean, it's interesting. I'm curious, what do you think about not playing Mariota?
It's weird to me because, you know, if he played all week in the joint practices, and like he did in the joint practices, you know, he was fully ready to go. But, you know, they're talking about his quad or whatever. He had a quad injury. They didn't want to play him. But, you know, I did want to see him because, you know, I wanted to see him go out there, you know, look good, get some confidence, you know, because his camp has not been that good. You know, he's thrown a lot of picks in the camp, and he hasn't been getting a lot of pub in camp as having a good one. So if he went out there and he played well, I think it would have gave him some more confidence just in case if Carr does go down, you know, you have more confidence that he can come in there and run the system and do it really, really well. But, you know, Peterman comes in there. I mean, Peterman runs the offense. I think he knows the offense. You know, sometimes he's just Nathan Peterman, and, you know, sometimes he'll just bird dog things and he won't get through his reads all the time that he really needs to, but he knows it. So he's kind of like, you know, I feel like he's there because he's like a coach guy. He's like probably like, you know, like a JT O'Sullivan. He probably do like QB breakdowns later on. We're like, oh, dude, you're so dope. You know, you could break down the game like crazy, but he just can't play it that well. So, you know, it's going to be interesting with him because if he comes in the game and Carr goes down, it's going to be, you know, I mean, he hasn't been good since then. So it'll be interesting to see what he looks like.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say I'm completely speculating here. Week two or whatever, the Ryan Fitzpatrick goes down, and Ryan Fitzpatrick's terrible, and Washington picks up the phone and they trade Mariota.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable rolling with Nate Pete as QB2? Have you seen enough in the preseason to hand over the backup keys to him?
I don't know how comfortable I could be, man. It's more about when he played. So when he actually played in Buffalo, or when he actually played back then, bro, it was not good. Because, you know, my brother's a Bills fan, so, like, you know, he's a big Bills guy. And, I mean, he beat out Josh Allen in preseason, bro. I mean, legit. It was legit. Like, it wasn't like, it wasn't like he.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it wasn't like he, like, you know, they just gave him like the Andy Dalton, like what they're doing the Bears, and Andy Dalton, like, he doesn't care how Andy Dalton looks. Nate Peterman actually outplayed him, right? And then he played the game. He got the start. And it was 47-3. So it's I don't know, man. I mean, when he played against the Falcons last year, it wasn't that great either. You know, he played that game, and then the next week, you know, all of a sudden Mariota's healthy. He's not a healthy scratch anymore. So I don't know, man. I'd be a little scared. I'd be scared.
Yeah. I mean, at least they can hang their hat as saying that their backup quarterback outplayed a $120 million quarterback.
Yeah.
Exactly. At the end of the day, that's going to be his claim to fame. He outplayed Josh Allen in the preseason.
In the preseason? Yeah, bro.
That's my guy right there. I'm hitching my wagon right there.
He's a coach's quarterback, bro. That's what I say.
Absolutely. Yeah. Future TV coach, Nate Peterman.
Yeah. For sure, dude. All right, man. What else we got?
All right, let's go. We got to get a little pessimism in here. We got to sprinkle in a little pessimism. We're too high right now.
Exactly.
Backup offensive tackle. Oh, how bad is it? I mean, Brandon Parker's the backup right and left tackle, swing tackle, I should say, right? He's the third tackle on the roster. And it's, I mean, is it even close? Is it even close for fourth?
No.
No. And I mean, to be honest, it's not even close with second with Parker, because I don't think Parker's gotten better. I mean, he's gotten better since his rookie year when he was literally the worst tackle in the league. But, like, it's still not good, and he is legitimately their best backup tackle. I talked about it last week. I'm curious for your thoughts, man.
The backup tackle is a scary outlook. You know, in the NFL, though, you know, sometimes I think about it, like, in the NFL, if a tackle went down, or both tackles went down, like, how many teams could actually put out a good tackle that's going to, like, you know,
survive? That's the Chiefs.
Right? Yeah, exactly. You know, you know, they got Mike Remmers out there. You know, he's not good. You know, so you know, if the Raiders lost their tackles, I think they'd be screwed regardless. I mean,
even if
they had some other players, but I think Brandon Parker is actually a okay swing tackle. Like he had a good game against the Broncos last year, but then 2 weeks later, he was terrible against the Falcons. So it's like, you know, that's a swing tackle, though. You know, like sometimes they might have a good game, and then next time they're terrible. I mean, Sam Young was awful too. You know what I mean? So, you know, just as long as they don't put Jared Jones Smith out there, I think you're right. And Patrick, I can't Omame. Even.
Patrick Omame. There was. I noticed it in the last game too. He has this technique where like his like upper body moves, but his feet don't. To just go lunge out the pass rusher, I'm like, dude, it legitimately looks like someone tied cinder blocks to your feet and like just jumped you in the Hudson River right now. Like, like I even tweeted out, I'm like, dude, like at some point, like this guy's gonna get somebody hurt. Like, there's like speed rushers, he just has no chance. And I'm like, and I know he's a 35 year old and he's like a true guard.
Yeah.
But I'm like, at some point, like you can't just keep rolling him out there. If you're gonna put him out there, like get somebody. Yeah, I mean. I feel like I didn't think I would say this, and I don't like even know how to evaluate this because I don't even go down the NFL roster depth that much.
Yeah,
but I feel like the Raiders are going to be watching the other teams in the league to seeing what tackles get cut. Like, I would not be surprised if like we see like, you know, the day after like cut down day and where whatever they put in like a waiver claim for a backup veteran tackle just because, like I said, it is rough right now.
Yeah, it is super rough at tackle. And you're right about that. Yeah, scrolling the waiver wire, trying to find somebody that has actually come in and, you know, make a difference. Yeah. Because, you know, they believe in Brandon Parker, but, you know, if somebody went down, you know.
You got to have somebody else too.
Yeah, you gotta have somebody else. I mean, you can't put Denzel Good out there. I mean, you put Good out at tackle, sure, could he suffice? But in the Patriots game, he was not good at tackle at all. So it's going to be. Yeah, you're right, Matt. They're probably going to have to scroll for somebody. They're going to have to look for something because there's no way. They can't put Jared – because Jared Jones-Smith was awful last week.
They both were. Him and Omame were both absolutely terrible. I thought Jones-Smith was better today, but, I mean, I don't think – like, if I go back and watch the film, I'd still be pissed. I'd still not be happy. Like, you know what I mean? And I think it was probably just more like I just could not stop fixating myself on Omame's pass-blocking technique on the edge, so –
yeah, I even mixed them up. Somebody, they got mad at me because I mixed them up.
Yeah,
I was
Oh,
that's Jared Jones-Smith. Like, Jones-Smith, he can't be on this team. And it was like, oh, that's Omame. Well, he can't be on the team.
It's funny. I think I saw your tweet and I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, I think Marcus mixed him up. And then I watched it a little bit longer. I'm like, oh no, Jared Jones Smith also got beat on this play. So I was like, oh, he still could be talking about him there. Like this is, it was that bad.
It was bad, bro. Yeah. Peterman is running for his life. But the interior of the offensive line looks pretty good. So absolutely. I think they're set there, but
yeah, absolutely. Tackles. I mean, I think they've got, especially in pass pro, I think they've got a lot of guys in those interior three guys that can really do it. And I think, you know, I talked about this too, you know, I know Denzel Good's not the best tackle anyone. He is a natural guard, but that almost leads me to believe, or would almost make me more comfortable, if one of the tackles do go down, either Miller or Leatherwood do go down, that almost makes me more comfortable sliding Good out there at one of the tackle spots and then bringing in like John Simpson or whoever else isn't starting, just because it's like, all right, at least I know the first three are going to be solid and whatnot, and rather than putting out someone there who we're just praying if they can stay in front of them.
Exactly. But the tackle situation is not good behind.
No.
If somebody goes down, Derek Carr is making all types of max protection.
Yeah. Calls. Leatherwood, I thought looked good though. I thought he looked good against the run. I mean, I know he only played a few snaps, and I didn't notice him again in pass pro, which I feel like that's a good thing if you're an offensive lineman, right? Like especially if you're watching the first run of the broadcast, as long as if I don't hear your name, or if I'm not thinking, a bunch of four-letter words about you in my head, then you're probably doing a good job on pass pro.
I thought they had better communication this week. I guess Seahawks, they had terrible communication. They couldn't.
Yeah, it was all mental. It was like free rushers just giving up. So.
Yeah, super mental. And, you know, him and Simpson had some pancakes. So, yeah. You know, I mean, Leatherwood, he was good in the run game last week to me, in my opinion. So, yeah. I think that, I mean, that's his forte, bro. I mean, that's what he was good at coming out of the draft, bro. Like, that's not shocking to me. Because it is about pass pro with him. That's what it's all about. But I still think that, I mean, he's better than Sam Young. So,
yeah, for sure. That's for sure. Especially now, because, you know, Sam Young retired.
For sure.
All right, let's move on and talk some linebackers.
Okay.
I want to talk about Javon White, and I want to keep it positive, but it just ended on such a sour note with him getting injured. Like, I mean, I honestly, in the last two games, I don't know about you, but I felt like he's been the best linebacker on the field. Yesterday, he goes out, and I mean, he had two pass breakups in coverage, right? He had one where he's covering the slot when he made a hell of a nice play in man coverage, and then the one where he's just coming to robot. I think BD called it out on that play action. Perfect play, you know. Back to the quarterback, doesn't try and go back and look for the ball, just plays through the hands and gets another one. And then, of course, you know, I didn't get a chance to look it up, the severity of the injury, but it did not look good after it. They took him out on the cart. He had the towel over his head. I think Nick said he was in tears. I mean, that sucks because I love that guy. You know, I'm a Bay Area native. He's an Oakland, a McClyman's product.
Okay.
Out in Oakland. And, you know, obviously UNLV grad, so a guy that was pretty much destined to be a Raider, but.
Yeah.
Sucks to him. What were your thoughts on Javon White?
I thought Javon White looked really good yesterday until he got hurt, which is really sad. Yeah. And the Raiders are just – they don't have any linebackers right now. Like, I'm worried about week one. That's what I'm – yeah, you know, because Kalkowski's hurt.
Yeah.
You know, Oro's hurt. Javon White's hurt. It's not looking good at linebacker at all right now.
Yeah, it was a rough week. I mean, now that you mentioned it, I'm like, it was a rough week for the Raiders linebackers. Like, all three of those guys, two of them are definitely starters. I think White, like we're talking about, you know, I don't think he'll start week one. I don't think there was any chance of that. But, I mean, the guy was playing well enough where I felt like he could have at least taken over at some point, you know, in the season if someone goes down or someone's not playing well. But, yeah, it was a rough week for them. I mean.
Yeah, man. It's a scary outlook.
Yeah,
because you know they might have to end up putting Max Richardson out there. He might make the team now. He's like, okay, oh shoot, I might make the team now.
I'm like sitting there, like going through my Rolodex of like Raiders players, and like Max Richardson. I don't even know if that one rings a bell, but hey, more power to him.
But as I'm saying, like he actually might make the team now because you know there's really you know Kyle because we don't know Kyle Kowski's injury. You know, hopefully it's not serious. You know, all they really got is Corey Littleton out there. And then, you know, they got Tanner Muse too, but it would be interesting to see Tanner Muse, you know, if Tanner Muse is out there week one, it's going to be super. You know, especially against Lamar Jackson, you know, and him reading, but he is good against the run. I'm not going to say that he's like, you know, it's more about him with the pass. So I guess week one, it probably would be a good fit for him. But like, if they went to week two with him playing against the Steelers, it might be a different outlook. Because Steelers, yeah, they got Najee Harris, but they're a pass team. They like to pass.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, quick sure. passing, you know. So week one, I'm sure they'll be fine with Tanner Muse and some of the other linebackers out there. But going deep into the season, if they don't have a lot of linebacker depth, I mean, we're talking about looking at the waiver wire, you know, for tackles. They might be looking at the waiver wire for linebacker for real.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, you bring up another name, Tavon Cooney or whatever, that they just signed from out of Notre Dame that was been on the team. It was on the team, I think, what was it, 2 years ago? It was on the practice squad or something like that. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, like we're talking about with all the injuries, he now has a really good chance to make the team, and he was just signed. So
yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious about, you bring up Muse. I felt like, it's funny, like you think about like a guy like, okay, this guy's converting from safety to linebacker. You're thinking like, you know, this guy, okay, he'll be good in coverage, but has some struggles against the run. And I feel like it's been the exact opposite with the Mike you were talking about. Like, I feel like against the run, I've actually been somewhat impressed, especially, you know, watching him from college. You know, he looks a lot bigger. He looks a lot thicker. I was watching him in his press conference the other day where he had like a little muscle shirt on. No lie, I was getting a little jealous. Started hitting, felt like I needed to hit some more curls or whatnot.
You did some push-ups after that?
I was like, all right, I got a couple reps in. I guess I'm lacking a little bit here. But no, I mean, he looks bigger and he looks like, you know, he's doing a better job of getting extension and working with his hands to get off blocks and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, in coverage, it's the weirdest freaking thing. Like, I don't know if he's just like thinking he's got to play differently. And now that he's closer to the line of scrimmage, got to play run first more. But I felt like there were a couple times where he was just sucking up way too much on play action.
Yeah.
And he just didn't have and then he just couldn't recover and go cover those drag routes and got beat a couple times on those. And the other part of me does worry too. I'm like, well, is the extra size he added making him slower? I mean, I couldn't really tell. I didn't really feel like that was necessarily the case, but I mean, if he keeps getting beat, then it's going to be hard to argue against.
You know, with me, it's always stiffness with him. You know, I mean, he skipped the agility combine drills, like the three cone and the 20 yard shuttle. He just went out there and ran the 40 and he skipped the other ones. Didn't even do them at his pro day. So, you know, I think about the Justin Jefferson play, you know, at the national championship game, and Justin Jefferson made him look silly. You know what I mean? So that's always my thing with him is stiffness. Like, so that's like the conversion from safety to linebacker. You figure like it would be you're right. You'd be like a coverage guy. Right. And not really a run play guy. But even when he was in college, I felt like he was a better run defender. You know, he would come in the box and, you know, he would play the box well. He'd make some tackles in the backfield. He would come up and blow up screens and stuff like that. And he was a good tackler.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really good tackler. I mean, I did an article on him earlier this week, and I think his missed tackle percentage per PFF was like 9%, which is really good. That's pretty low. And I mean, and it's funny that you say that because I feel like a lot of his coverage skills in college got made up for because he has really good ball skills, right?
Yeah.
Which is great to have. Like we're talking about, we're just praising Javon White for his ball skills over there. But ball skills only get you so far when you can't stay in phase, right? You can't – ball skills aren't going to matter if you're 2 yards behind the wide receiver, the tight end, or whatever running the route.
Yeah.
And I think that's – you kind of, like, nailed it a little bit. And, like, now that I'm going back and thinking about what I watched, like, a lot of his success in coverage were him just dropping to an area, dropping to a spot, and then playing coverage, right? Not necessarily manning someone up from the line or even, you know, having to come up and play the run and then go back and change direction and, you know, retreat and recover a little bit, versus where someone like, I think, Javon White, who actually played more – slot corner really than anything at college, like, has that a little bit of an advantage. He has those change of direction skills and a little bit more fluid hips. So
yeah,
interesting to see. I mean, right now, like we're talking about the top, like we were just talking about, I mean, Muse almost has to start by default, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like he's a starter now.
he's a starter. You were listed at number one by the PR intern for the Raiders on the depth chart to start training camp. And guess what? Now you're going to be there. That guy knew what he was talking about, right?
Yeah, right. my thing with Muse, one play that always sticks out for me for Tanner Muse, because everybody talks about, you know, how he got three interceptions or whatever. The game against Boston College, and I'm probably sure you watched this when you went and reviewed the tape, where he just got burned by the slot receiver, just burned him, right? Like, dude had like 2 yards of separation, but the quarterback threw the worst throw ever behind him and ended up getting a pick. And, you know, that's a highlight for him. But like, if the quarterback threw it on, you know, had a good throw, that's a touchdown. It's a low light. So yeah. I think that's basically that kind of like describes him. Like, yeah, he was burned, but he still had the ball skills and like, okay, if you missed, I'm still gonna pick it off though.
Yeah,
but you know, that play shows a stiffness to me. So
it makes sense. Like he can take advantage of mistakes, but in the NFL, quarterbacks don't make as many mistakes.
Yeah. Man, so they're not missing that throw, bro. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So linebacker Jeff, man, is a little scary. You know, it's gonna be interesting going to the season. You know, they might they really might have to try to find somebody. Look for something. Maybe Darren Lee's going to get some action. Who knows? I forgot about him.
Well, he's injured too.
Oh, yeah, he's hurt too.
Good Lord. I'm pretty sure that's why I signed Cooney. Yeah, man, I don't know what it is. Whatever's wrong with whatever's in the water for the linebacker like meeting room or whatever, they got to change that out, man. Get like a purifier in there or something like that.
Something, those, bro.
They need a Brita.
Something. Yeah. There's something going on there, bro. Oh, man. All right, dude. Anything else, bro? I think that's, we covered a lot of stuff.
I think that's it, man. I feel like that's pretty good for a preseason game. So we'll see. Yeah. I love these because like it's football back, but it's also like, man, like by the time the third quarter rolls around, I'm like, all right, we need to make these games count again. We need to get this going back on Sundays, right?
Yeah. Matt, you have no idea how bad preseason is until you watch an all 22, bro. It's basically unwatchable. It's basically it's bad. You're like, why did you even send this to me? Let me just watch broadcasts because this is awful. Oh, yeah. It's not even like you get to like sit the second quarter. It's like people are asking me questions. I'm like, I couldn't get that far. I'm sorry. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't get
that far. It was just, you know, guys running wrong routes and everything. It's terrible. It's funny.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, guys. We appreciate you guys checking us out, you know, and listening. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you guys hit the download button. Make sure you guys, you know, subscribe. You know, Silver and Black Pride. You know, we're building up the podcast back. So make sure you guys check it out. You know, we're gonna be doing this after every single game. You know, it could be BD, it could be Matt, it could be me. You never know. We're switching it all up or all around. Make sure you check out Matt's podcast too. Make sure you download that and make sure you guys listen to that as well. And then, you know, check out me and BD on Wednesday when we do our little tape review of the actual game and not just give you guys just hot takes. So, but we appreciate you guys listening. You know, make sure you guys follow us on Twitter. Go ahead and what's your handle, Matt? Give me the handle.
@mholder95.
At him older 95, and of course I'm at the Mark John NFL. So make sure you guys follow us there, and of course, you know, check out all our articles. You know, we're pumping out articles like crazy. You know, everything that we're doing. So make sure you guys check that out on silverblackpride.com and get that back going. Leave your comments. Let us know how you feel. All right. Any last words, Matt?
That's the only last thing I have is just to let so everybody knows, if you subscribe to the Silver and Black Pride podcast as a general, you'll get all three shows, right? You'll get Bill Solo, you'll get Taped On Lie, and you'll get mine. So that's all you got to do. You don't have to subscribe to three different pods, just one. And please, please, please download them. 5-star reviews. Tell us about how much you love us in the comment section, how good looking we are, how beautiful our voices sound, all that good stuff.
Exactly. All right, guys, we appreciate you listening. We'll see you.